On Saturday, a monster moment happened in the world of astronomy. For the first time, we actually had stardust collected and brought back to Earth. Now, I don't even know what I just said, frankly. So when it comes to NASA-related things, I always call on Phil Plait. Calls himself the bad astronomer, but he's a very good astronomer. Does astronomy for a living, where he teaches it at Sonoma State University out in California. And I got to know him years ago by the great work he did debunking the Mars, or rather the moon landing hoax. And so I've invited him back on the show this afternoon to talk a little bit about this stardust catch over the weekend. Hiya, Phil.
Hi, I do great Mars debunking, too. Don't cut me short there.
Well, we'll do that some other time. Explain this to me. What was this project? What did they do? What did they catch?
Okay, what's going on here is that NASA launched a probe back in 99 to meet up with a comet. It passed very close to a comet, the idea being that it would take very close-up pictures of this object and then also capture some samples that it would return to Earth. And it was these samples of the comet that came down the other night.
Okay, so we got samples of a comet. So what?
Well, that's cool.
What are we going to do with them?
Okay, the thing about comets is that most people picture them like meteors shooting across the sky. That's not really right. A comet is a ball or just a lump of rock and ice, typically 10, 15 miles across, something like that. A lot of them are on long orbits, which take them way far away from the sun. But when they get close, they warm up. And then they emit particles because the ice sort of melts by the sunlight. And that's what causes them to get these big, long tails. Well, comets, we think, are fairly much unchanged since the solar system formed 4.5 billion with a B years ago.
So this thing that we shot a spaceship into could be older than the sun?
No, it'd be as old as the sun. And on Earth, the rocks and everything that we try to sample have been processed over and over again because the Earth is active. There are volcanoes and erosion and all this kind of stuff. But a comet is like a time capsule. It lets you look back to when the solar system was young. And you can look at the chemicals inside of a comet and learn about what the early solar system was. Now, we collect particles from comets all the time because when comets break apart, their pieces burn up in our atmosphere, and that's what we call meteors. But those are affected by the Earth's atmosphere and by the Earth. By going to the comet, collecting these particles, putting them in a sealed chamber and bringing them back, we have a pristine sample of what these things were like. That's what Stardust was all about, and that's what makes it very exciting.
Now, the project was called Stardust. Is the stuff that they brought back, these particles, would that literally be considered Stardust?
Oh, this is so cool, because I just realized this the other day. I just found this out. It collected many, 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 many thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of little tiny specks of dust and ice and junk from the comet. But they're also expecting to find as many as 50, and this is 50 out of hundreds of thousands, but 50 tiny particles of dust that may have actually been from other stars in our galaxy. In other words, stars like the sun, but much, much farther away. And so they may get actual samples of other stars in this as well.
All right. I'm amazed at what you just said, because how are they going to look through hundreds of thousands and know, oh, this is a piece of a star?
Oh, that's an excellent question. For one thing, those pieces of dust tend to move faster than the comet does when they hit the collector. This collector was a weird stuff called aerogel. It's like ultra super light styrofoam, and it collects these particles. Well, the dust particles, I think they're either heavier or they're moving faster, so they tend to slam into it. They'll be in the back of the collector as opposed to the front. And what NASA is doing, and this is very excellent, they're going to take a microscope and scan all of these collectors. They're going to train people on the Internet, and those people will go and look for this dust on their computer. Any of your listeners can sign up for this. If you go to my website, which is badastronomy.com, click on any one of the 800 blog links I have there, you'll see the past few days I've been talking about Stardust quite a bit. And I have a link called Stardust at Home. And that's going to allow people to actually look through these samples on their computer, at least pictures of them, and look for these interstellar interlopers, as I've been calling them.
And what are we looking for? Once we actually do get a view of what was once a piece of a star or what was once just a piece of a comet, what will that reveal to us?
Well, each image will be tagged, and so if you find something like that, then NASA can look at that image and extract that piece of dust and find out what it is. Interstellar dust is very complex. It's a big old molecule filled with all kinds of carbon and hydrogen and oxygen, all this stuff, and the exact composition of it and its structure will give us a lot of insight into how stars are formed, how they live their lives, and how they die.
are we doing this again, or is this a one-shot deal?
I suspect that if this works, there will be more projects like this. NASA is very interested in studying comets and their cousins' asteroids because they can hit the Earth. You may remember that it was probably a 6 or 7 mile wide asteroid that may have wiped out the dinosaurs. Comets and asteroids are dangerous. We need to understand them. So there's a whole bunch of missions that are planned for the present and future to go visit comets and asteroids. And sample returns are nice because they let us actually test this stuff out in the labs at home.
So I guess we should be happy this one didn't crack open like the problem they had. What was that, last year?
Deep Impact?
Yeah.
Well, Deep Impact didn't crack open. They slammed it with a probe to actually make a crater and investigate what was underneath the comet.
No, but wasn't there something that they sent up into space and when it came back to Earth?
Oh. That was the Genesis probe, yeah. That was a similar idea, except this went up to capture the solar wind way, way, way out, and the parachute did not deploy, and it slammed into the desert and cracked open.
But this one was okay.
Yeah, this one was okay.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff.
So we're talking about a nearly 3 billion mile round trip to find out about stuff that may have gone on 4.5 billion years ago. That's science at its best, as far as I'm concerned.
You got it. That's exactly right.
Yeah. All right. I'll see you next week out in Vegas.
All right. You bet. I'm looking forward to that, let me tell you.
Phil and I are both going to be at the amazing meeting put on every year by the James Randi Educational Foundation. Are you doing a presentation this year, Phil?
Yes. I'll be talking about the current attack on science going on.
And by the way, what irony, what's the name of the place that we're staying?
Yep. It's called the Stardust Hotel. No joke.
And after this year, they're destroying it. So
it'll be a big pile of dust.
It'll be a big pile of stardust, and we can go collect that.
Yeah, it's true.
Thanks, Phil. I'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Phil Plait, you can find him online at badastronomy.com when he's not working at the Physics and Astronomy Department at Sonoma State University. I call him the official NASA consultant for the Paul Harris Show here on News Talk 1120 KMOX.